For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is almost surreal to say that the NBA season is once again back around for us to enjoy. But JC, that is exactly where we find ourselves, with just about 5 weeks to go until the NBA's 2020-21 NBA regular season kicks off into action. JC, feels like the Lakers just won that title. I know we've still been celebrating in Los Angeles. Can you believe the season is on the horizon?
Yeah, I mean, as 2020 finally, mercifully, gets closer to coming to an end, it seems like not just the NBA, but a lot of places in general, with, you know, more and more positive news coming out about coronavirus treatments and things like that, it seems like the theme for 2021 amongst all people, not just the NBA, is let's just get this thing going. Like, let's fire it off like a rocket and keep, you know, keep the momentum going and get right back to where we used to be. And so the NBA is wanting to take off.
The Lakers and their fans will be disappointed that Lakers home games this coming season will be without anyone in the crowd until further notice. Los Angeles County did officially put into place another COVID-19 surge. So unfortunately, we will not be able to see the Lakers except on television for the indefinite future. But nonetheless, this is a team coming off the title. It feels like they just won, and that's because they just did. It's surreal to think that that everybody in the NBA, but specifically the Lakers, only have 71 days, I believe it is, from their last game to the next game of the season. Of course, a lot of other teams have been sitting for a lot longer than that. And JC, we're going to have the draft next week. We're going to have free agency right after that. There are a lot of guys who are going to be moving around and teams that are going to be looking very differently in a very short amount of time here. And the Lakers could very well be one of those teams. Obviously, you know, Anthony Davis is in the bag, but there are a lot of other question marks about this team, including what they might be able to do on the trade market. So can we just go over the fact that the NBA draft is next week?
Yeah, on the 18th, November, the NBA draft, 48 hours after that, teams can begin negotiating for the free agency period, and then 48 hours after that is when they can start signing the contracts. Now, we know the way NBA offseasons usually go is there's probably already deals that have been made and discussed that we don't officially know about yet. And so, yeah, things are going to come fast and furious once the 18th hits after the NBA draft. And then after that, the season starts on December 22nd, and that's the official start. That's not like a preseason start or training camp check-in. That's when the season starts. So, like, I don't know what, if any, there's going to be of a preseason or training camp or when that's even going to start.
It's going to be so weird and so fast, because basically these guys are going to have their Thanksgiving holiday and then be back in the building with just about, you know, 2-3 weeks until the season starts. I mean, you're right. Whether it's training camp or preseason, call it whatever you want, it's almost like a summer league and barely even that. And with the expected amount of player movement, it is going to be fascinating to see what the product looks like at the early part of the year. You have to think veteran teams like the Lakers, like the Warriors, now that they're healthy again, teams with continuity will be able to get off to quicker starts than those who are trying to integrate new pieces, especially if they're bigger new pieces. And it's going to be a challenge for some of these younger teams who have yet to develop their chemistry, or their chemistry is in progress, or they're at the top of the draft and they're looking to bring in a major piece. I think that's going to be a huge wild card in determining, you know, not the ultimate outcome of the season necessarily, but definitely in terms of maybe some early season playoff standings and, you know, how teams play with desperation down the stretch, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm fascinated to see how it plays out. I'm shocked that the season is starting before the first of the year. I really did not think that was going to be the case, but nonetheless, here we are, and we find ourselves back in basketball season. Of course, it's always nice to have a short off season from the fan perspective, because that means that your team at least did something in the playoffs, right? In the Lakers' case, obviously bringing it home. But outside of re-signing Anthony Davis, I think my biggest question for the Lakers with AD is, what type of contract will Anthony Davis sign? I mean, we know it's going to be a max deal. So in terms of the length, will it be 3 years or will it be for 5 years? And I think that's, you know, or it could be for 4 years, or maybe it's for 1 year, 2 years. Let's go over all the options while we're throwing all the numbers out there, right? So Anthony Davis is back on a max contract. I think that's the biggest question, is the length. But some of these other guys, right? Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is not a guy you expected to necessarily opt out prior to the season and to the playoffs, but it certainly seems like it's leaning in that direction. Rajon Rondo is planning to decline his option. Avery Bradley, I think, could be back, because I just don't see him getting more money on the open market necessarily, and the same goes for JaVale McGee. But then, you know, I think Deion Waiters is off the team. J.R. Smith is off the team. But Markieff Morris was an important piece for this group, and the same goes with Dwight Howard. Where do you stand on the Lakers free agent list here, right? Let's start with the team that's in-house.
Yeah, so I think the interesting one ends up being Rondo, just because KCP kind of played himself into a raise, and I think he was an obvious opt-out, just because he probably parlayed more money for himself. Rondo might have done that too, because he was on a relatively cheap contract, but he is getting up there in age, and the last couple of years has really only kind of proved his value as a playoff player, like, which is an extreme value. He's an extremely great playoff player. Avery Bradley, I think the early money on him after the season was, he's got his championship ring, he's going to want to take care of his family, so he's going to go after a big money contract somewhere. But yeah, with a shortened offseason, and he hasn't played since March, basically, if he were to opt out, I don't know if he would get the same or more money, so he might be better off opting in.
$5 million for AB. I cannot see Bradley getting $5 million annually on the open market.
Yeah, and JaVale McGee, he's in the best choice for an opt-in or opt-out, because he's clearly not going to get more than what he's getting now, and if he, you know, he can collect an easy paycheck, kind of being the reserve center for the Lakers, sort of being the 12th or 13th man off the bench, so he's an easy opt-in. It's not going to cost him any more money. And so, and Markieff Morris, him and his brother switched agents. Markieff was with Rich Paul and Clutch, and I forgot who Marcus signed with, but the fact that they both signed with new agents tells me that they want to play together. And Marcus kind of seemed a little burned by the Lakers last offseason, or at least by Clutch, not by the Lakers. So I don't necessarily know that's going to be, and the both of them together might be kind of expensive. And so, yeah, I think if you lose anyone, you might lose Rondo, because there seems to be a lot of smoke around those rumors.
Well, let's start with Rondo. I got a number of scenarios for you here, but let's start with Rondo. My best friend is a Clippers fan, JC, and he said Rondo would be an excellent fit on the Clippers. Do you buy into that?
I mean, I think he would. I don't know how well he would get along with a guy like Kawhi, because Rondo has seemed, when he was at his best, he seemed to get along with guys who were kind of really vocal alphas, or just like really demonstrative leaders, like Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, LeBron James. When Rondo has been at his worst, has been, and when Wade, when he played with Wade, Wade is not necessarily that kind of leader, I don't think. And so I think Rondo would be best with somebody like a LeBron, or somebody like maybe a Jimmy Butler in Miami, people who are those kinds of leaders. I don't think he would mesh well with Kawhi, personally.
Interesting take. I like it. Maybe a basketball fit, but not a cultural fit necessarily in that locker room. So that's an interesting take. I do think you're right in that Rondo is going to have more suitors than maybe anyone anticipated, and should be able to do better than the minimum. Dwight Howard, JC. Is Dwight Howard back on the Lakers for this coming season?
I think it all depends on what centers are available. You've got Tristan Thompson out there, who's got the obvious LeBron and Clutch connection. Lately, Christian Wood is emerging as somebody who might be kind of gettable for the Lakers, a young big from Detroit who's really mobile, who could shoot threes, things that Dwight Howard and Tristan Thompson cannot. You got another clutch connection with Nerlens Noel. As great as Dwight Howard was, he's still kind of more of that classic big, and I don't know how much value a classic big has in today's game. You need somebody like a Nerlens Noel, like a Christian Wood. I don't even necessarily think Tristan Thompson is that kind of center. I think he's a little more of a classic type center that I don't think matches up well with today's game.
If you were telling me that the Lakers could, you know, re-sign Dwight Howard for $6 million a year, or maybe get Tristan Thompson for the $5-6 million annually, or the Lakers could roll the dice on a minimum contract on Christian Wood, I'm pretty sure I would take Christian Wood.
Yeah.
That's sort of how I feel. And it's not really a slight to Dwight. I just think you're right. His role is a limited one. He's best off the bench. You know, he did give the Lakers a boost when he entered the starting lineup, but then, you know, we saw that fluctuate down the stretch, and ultimately the Lakers were at their best, as we all knew before the season ever started, with Anthony Davis at the five. So for me, I think Dwight, like you, could be back at the right number, right? If he's willing to accept the minimum and there isn't maybe a more gettable option out there, sure. However, I don't think it's a necessity, whereas some people were calling it a necessity at one point in the offseason. And I might have very well been in that crowd at one point. But I think looking at it from, you know, sort of a deeper out of the hole than when we were in the playoffs, I think that's the reality, right? Is that Dwight was a very unexpected complement to this team because Anthony Davis didn't want to play center. But as Anthony Davis played center more and as the Lakers played teams who were smaller, we saw Dwight's level of effectiveness wade, as sort of you described, because of the type of player he is.
Yeah, I think one way to solve the Anthony Davis center or power forward problem is just to get another guy who's the same size and same skill set as Anthony Davis.
Yeah, and, you know, Christian Wood is, you know, I would never comp him to Anthony Davis, but I think he's much closer to Anthony Davis's game than Dwight Howard is.
Yeah, in terms of skill set, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so moving away from Dwight Howard, right, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I could see a scenario where a young team, and I'll use the hometown Hawks, assuming they don't swoop in on Drew Holiday from the Pelicans. I still feel like that's a lot of smoke there, but we'll see, right? I think on a hometown team like the Hawks, if you're the Hawks, could you look at KCP and go, yeah, you know what, we'll give you $20 million over a couple years to come play with our young crew? Could you see a scenario like that? Because I don't see, again, I think we talked about this at one point, I don't see any playoff team that says, oh, you know what, we're a KCP away.
Right.
Right? So he's not going to go to a better team with the Lakers coming off winning the title. And I think, you know, if he continued to play at this level, regardless of the ultimate outcome of the coming season, I think he might even have a better chance of getting paid next offseason, because at that point it'd be a little bit of a track record versus, okay, this is a little bit of an outlier at this point in his career, right? So
yeah. I think Atlanta's a good fit for him. I think with a team that has an up and coming guy like Trae Young, Kentavious and his experience could help with a team like that. Like what KCP shouldn't do is take a high contract just to go to a team that's going nowhere, like the Kings. Like, the Kings have no identity. You don't really know who their best player is. That's not a good scenario for him. But like a team like Atlanta, Memphis with John Morant, that type of scenario is probably good for him.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the scenario where he could contribute on a young and developing team. And it's just going to be fascinating to see kind of what he prioritizes now that he's been able to call himself a member of a championship roster. I would like to see him return to Lakers. I think he does hold value, especially, you know, at the salary that he's making. I know a lot of people are sort of tired of KCP, but I think that's, you know, not going to be an easy thing for Lakers to just go out and grab in free agency or something like that. Despite coming off winning the title, obviously there will be players who want to play for the Lakers because they want to chase the ring. I get that. But at the same time, I think KCP brings something on both ends of the court, and the Lakers' perimeter defense can't exactly take a hit, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, since Avery Bradley didn't go to the bubble, I could see KCP entering this year with the Lakers saying, you know what, I want to win sixth man of the year. I want that to be mine. And that seems like a really great role for KCP to do that.
That would be a great goal for him. I love that for him. I don't know that, you know, if on the Lakers team that'll be his ultimate sort of construct, right? But I do think that That would be a great role for him. I love that sort of call right there.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're moving off KCP, right? We think Bradley will be back. We went over Rondo. We think, you know, we know AD's coming back. I want to go back to Keith for a second, because assuming him and Marcus do want to play together, the Lakers are completely off the table, right? So Lakers are going to have to get sort of creative in free agency, because once Anthony Davis is back on the books, you know, and even without him, to be honest, the Lakers don't exactly have money to spend. So you look at this realistically, and you say, okay, assuming Avery Bradley opts in, right? Assuming JaVale McGee opts in, right? I guess you could count those guys as potential trade assets, but I wouldn't, right? Just for the contract number. You're really looking at Danny Green, you're looking at Kyle Kuzma, and you're looking at potentially packaging those two guys together with a pick or picks or whatever it might be, right? To acquire a third impact player. Because as things sit today, JC, the Lakers are not going to pay Kyle Kuzma the way that Kyle Kuzma wants the Lakers to pay him. I don't see that. I don't see them coming to an early agreement on an extension, because I think Kyle Kuzma's number in his head is like $20 million a year, and I just don't see it on this team.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
And so for me, you know, I think Kuzma's going to be one of those guys who says, okay, I'm going to let the season play out and we'll see. But, you know, I think it would be in his best interest to also be a star in his role. And to his credit, down the stretch of the postseason, especially at certain moments in the finals, he was capable of that. Because all during the regular season, he was still trying to be Kyle Kuzma, score first Kyle Kuzma, and that's just not it on this team for him. Not within this construct. So we'll see on Kuzma. But if the Lakers were to go into the trade market and say, hey, we're gonna trade Kyle Kuzma, we're going to attach Danny Green's contract, what type of player, whether you have, you know, a particular example in mind, right, a particular guy, or just a general description, but what type of player do you think this Lakers team would benefit by getting?
I mean, probably either a more than competent backup point guard or a versatile kind of 3-and-D forward/guard, like someone who's around 6'5", who's a good 3-point shooter, athletic on defense, that sort of player.
Wouldn't it be great if, you know, it's sort of, I guess it would be great if the Lakers could find a Damari Carroll, but not Damari Carroll. Does that make sense?
Right.
Like a Jay Crowder, right?
Yeah.
Like a guy like that, I think would hit a lot of notes for this team. Not only because of what you described, but also the toughness piece, because that is something that Markieff brought. And I don't want to oversell it, because I think sometimes that's oversold. But on this particular team, right, LeBron is not going to play the bully role. Anthony Davis doesn't really play that role. And when they have a guy who's able to stick up for those guys and others, I think it sort of inspires the others around him. And you know, Caruso puffs his chest out, and God bless him, right? But he's not the biggest guy on the court. So we already know how that goes. And so for me, I feel like that would be an element of this team that I thought really benefited them down the stretch, and I want them to keep together sort of regardless of who winds up being the ultimate personnel. I am excited to see Talen Horton-Tucker next season. I think he can play a role on this team. I don't know that he's going to play 20 minutes a night, but I think he can play a role on this team. I'd rather see him play than Quinn Cook. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so, you know, we'll see how it shakes out, but the Lakers have a lot of decisions ahead of them in a very short period of time. I'd be curious to see how active they are during the draft, leading up to the draft, if they are at all, and then obviously in free agency. For me, if the Lakers are going to go into the trade market and you know, do that package of Danny Green and Kyle Kuzma, which we haven't heard that they're planning to do, you know, just sort of been some unsubstantiated gossip or speculation, I think that toughness, right? Like I would you know, a Draymond Green who knows how to shoot, but, you know, I'm building a unicorn here. But I do think that toughness element, that guy who can play on the perimeter, who has some size, who has some girth to him, for lack of a better way to say, who could defend the three or the four, that would really, really, really benefit this team in a major way. And if Rondo does wind up departing, I do think it would benefit the Lakers from, you know, exploring the veteran minimums sort of bargain bin in the point guard class, because I of course I want Caruso to have a larger role, but I think they would be remiss if they went in with Caruso playing 30 minutes a night and we'll figure it out from there type of thing. So go ahead.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, that would be kind of taking a step backward for Caruso. Him expanding his role a little bit is the right thing, but not too much quite yet.
Yeah, and I think he's, you know, he's carved out his role, and so I think he's really comfortable in the role. He's still growing in the role, and I think it's sort of the perfect role for him. And as we're talking about all these different, you know, changes that could be happening with the Lakers, we get the news today that now I joked on Twitter earlier, JC. I'm going to tease this a little bit. I joked a little bit when Woj came out with a report that, you know, Westbrook and Harden being unhappy in Houston could become a potential plausible eventual reality or some sort of ridiculously conditional language like that, right? And so, of course, I should never doubt Woj because 7 hours later, you know, Shams, Russell Westbrook wants out of Houston. Okay. So I have a couple thoughts here. One is this is so predictable. It's just boring at this point. It's just really boring. I'm sort of tired of the Russell Westbrook story. It's never his, you know, culpability. He doesn't want to take responsibility on the basketball court, but he wants to be seen as best player on the court. I love the guy from a personal standpoint. I think what he does for the community, for the kids, especially in schools as an educator myself, is noble. I love everything about him. He's a family man first. It's beautiful. As a basketball player, I'd be frustrated playing with him, and I'd be frustrated with his leadership style. And I think that's – and I bought my car from his dealership, okay? So I'm not totally against the guy here. But I'm just saying that I feel like he was a big reason why Houston struggled last year, and he was brought in to play a clearly major role. And if I'm bringing in a guy to play that role – I want him to step up and say, you know what, it's on me sometimes, especially when it is. Am I sort of off here, or you have anything on this?
No, I'm 100% with you. Like, I think he's a tremendous talent. I love a triple-double as much as the next guy. The fact that he was able to average one for two consecutive seasons, for all intents and purposes, he should be my favorite player, but he's just not because of all those things that you said. I don't like the inefficiency. And all the negative ways that people criticize LeBron for his leadership and how he kind of like shrugs his shoulders and sort of yells at teammates. I don't think Russell Westbrook is a guy that would take criticism from other teammates well, and I don't think he would dish out criticism in a positive way. As much as I wouldn't want like a Chris Paul come to the Lakers because of how much his contract would cost. Multiply that by 10, and it's how much I would not want Russell Westbrook on this Lakers team.
And thankfully for us, that's not a reality that we're going to have to, you know, sort of contemplate for long, if at all, because it's simply not going to happen. But, you know, before we came on air, JC, you and I were chatting briefly, and we said, you know, where does Russell Westbrook go, right? Like, where does he fit? Not only contractually, where does he fit? But, I mean, realistically, where does he fit? And it could be, you know, something more than just we're going to dump him here. You and I both talked about Phoenix a little bit. You mentioned, you know, obviously the Suns got linked to Chris Paul last night from Brian Windhorst, who I don't know the last time that he broke NBA news that wasn't about LeBron, but that's okay. Nonetheless, there's that report out there. And I want to grandstand on this for a second because I'm tired of seeing the reports from Heavy.com. Sean Devaney, Sporting News, Heavy.com. Dude, you're never right. You're never right. It's always a bunch of crap. I don't want to see the Lakers are going to get Serge Ibaka for the minimum. This is what drives everyone else nuts about Lakers fans is when that kind of conversation starts. Just stop. Stop with that. Anyway. So the Suns are linked to Chris Paul. You know, I think Russell Westbrook could make sense for them, especially if, you know, Ricky Rubio is moved as part of that deal. Obviously, you don't want to pay Ricky Rubio to be a backup to Russell Westbrook. But I look around the rest of the league, and I just look at teams that are either culturally developing. You know, there's two groups here, right? There's teams that don't need a point guard, period, right? Like, they just don't need it. The Nets, the Celtics, right? And several other teams, the Grizzlies. Then there's teams that are developing. But if you're trying to develop a culture, do you want Russell Westbrook to be your best player? Can you count on him to be your leader? I don't know. I look at the Bulls. I look at Otto Porter's contract because you know he's going to opt in, right? Are the Bulls a fit for Russell Westbrook?
I mean, maybe. If they find a way to either kind of unload Zach LaVine and get some pieces back that they can help rebuild with, I mean, maybe. That might be a good fit for him.
So maybe the Bulls, maybe the Suns, Do the Cavs make any sense at all?
I don't know.
They just drafted two guards.
Yeah, I think, yeah, they're trying to develop their two guards. They're probably about to get rid of Kevin Love. That ownership group doesn't have the best reputation among the league.
And honestly, Kevin Love and Russell Westbrook gets you what? A first-round exit?
Yeah.
So I don't see it there. The Mavericks, is Westbrook the third piece with Porzingis and Luka? I don't see it there.
You definitely don't want to take the ball out of Luka's hand, and that's all Russell's going to do.
Okay, the Nuggets have a lot of money invested in Jamal Murray. It's not going to happen there. Detroit said they're going to take bad contracts. Russell Westbrook's a good player with a bad contract. Is Detroit an option?
I mean, maybe. They might be kind of in that place where they might be kind of in that purgatory of they're either never really going to get to the playoffs. And yeah, I mean, they might be willing to take that on.
Russell Westbrook and Blake Griffin to build the best team from 2010 in 2021?
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's what that would be. Look, and I give the Pistons, like, at the time they made the Blake trade, you know the risks, you know the contract, but the Pistons are never going to get someone in free agency of Blake's caliber, even by name alone, to sign there, right? So I give them credit for trying to do something that excites the fan base. This would be another move that would, in theory, improve.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener Salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Prove their team if they were able to pull it off. But it's another name grab, right? It's not the most sensical in terms of building a sustainable champion. But the Pistons aren't anywhere near that. They need people to engage with this team, including some of the people within the organization. So I look at the Pistons and say, that could be interesting. We know the Warriors aren't going to happen. The Rockets are looking to get rid of him at this point. How about the Pacers?
I was looking at them. Yeah, I was looking at them. I was like, if they're going to trade Oladipo, that could be.
Right?
Yeah.
Could that be an option? Do you play him with Malcolm Brogdon? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it's just who Russell fits with is just kind of like, that's the biggest, kind of been the biggest mystery of his career. Like, even with Kevin Durant, like, how well did they really fit together? They came close a couple of times just because they're both otherworldly talents, but, like, how good a fit were they really?
JC, this is such a fun game. Let's keep going. Paul George for Russell Westbrook. Who says no?
I mean, yeah. Like, I could see Steve Ballmer trying to take that chance. The both players have bad playoff reputations. So it's like, let's see if a change of scenery might improve either one of them.
Could you imagine if Paul George passed up signing with the Lakers twice only to get traded after 1 year with the Clippers. That would be some kind of reality if that came to fruition. I don't think the Memphis Grizzlies are looking to take the ball out of Jaw's hands. So we'll move on to the Miami Heat. Is he a fit with Jimmy Butler?
No, I don't think. I think Russell's a fit for, like, Heat culture. I don't think he's a fit with, like, Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy Butler, I think, at this point has embraced that Heat culture so much that you kind of have to embrace him as well as the organization, and I don't see it.
Do the Bucks package Eric Bledsoe in a deal for Russell Westbrook?
I mean, the only reason that kind of wouldn't work is because Miami's probably trying to poach Giannis at some point, and so I don't see those two teams making a deal, but that seems possible. That's a good deal.
No, for Eric, I'm saying just between Milwaukee and Houston. Eric Bledsoe plus some pieces for Westbrook. That could be an option. Yep. Maybe a signal to Giannis that they're trying to, you know, explore every avenue to upgrade the team. Then I look at a team like the Wolves, and I would say, obviously they just brought in D'Angelo Russell, so that's not going to happen. But this is what I'm talking about. This is the type of team that's a good example of, yeah, they can continue to use talent, but where does Westbrook fit? The Pelicans, please, let's not even visit there, because I just feel like that would be, I mean, unless you're going to trade out Drew Holiday for Russell Westbrook, let's ask that question. Drew Holiday for Russell Westbrook. I'd rather have Drew Holiday.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't think the Pelicans entertain that. The Knicks. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention the Knicks. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, are the Knicks the most obvious destination?
It seems like it, yeah. They would take that chance. Crazier things have happened, I guess, in New York.
You know, the Knicks fans didn't like Carmelo. I got news for you, Knicks fans. Yeah. You might not like Westbrook either if you didn't like Melo. Just saying. Let me throw this one out to you. What if the Thunder called and said, hey, we'll trade you back?
I mean, who would they?
Now, I don't think that's likely.
Oh, sending Chris Paul back? But if they said,
we'll give you Chris Paul back. Yeah, we'll give you Chris Paul back.
I mean, there were those reports a few weeks ago where it's like, hey, Chris Paul and James Harden could have worked it out. They just didn't get the chance to.
I mean, that would be in a year of crazy. That would certainly fit the theme, right?
Yeah.
All right, so just interesting. I think one team that could be interesting that is a young team is Orlando. Okay, I know Markelle Fultz is there, but I think Orlando could be interesting. Westbrook and Vucevic could be an interesting pairing.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to that. That'd be the closest you can get to replicating Steven Adams and Russell Westbrook.
Does Daryl Morey try to bring him to Philly? That's a joke. We know Westbrook doesn't like threes, and threes don't like Westbrook. So we talked about the Suns. Okay, we know that could be a potential fit. Portland's out of the question, obviously, with Lillard there. How about the Kings?
I mean, yeah, they're kind of the poor man's New York Knicks, it seems. Like, they'll take on bad contracts. They are trying to find an identity, it seems. Every time it seems like they get their franchise player is never really all that happy there.
I feel like if the Rockets could somehow poach Darren Fox is, like, waiting to be a star in Houston, I feel like.
Yeah. I think that would be kind of what it is if De'Aaron kind of initiated it and saying, look, I'm not going to extend here. You guys might as well try and get something for me. Might as well get Russ Westbrook.
Let me throw this one to you. Russell Westbrook and whatever pick they can trade for Fox, knowing he's going to be a free agent, and we'll take the contract that you shouldn't have given him and that you don't want on your books with a not Harry Giles, Buddy Hield. Had a huge brain fart there for a second. Buddy Hield.
That seems like a good gamble. The biggest value, I think, with what you're going to get in – the biggest value you're going to get back in trading Russell Westbrook, I think, is just getting that contract off your books. So I think that's worth a one-year gamble.
If I'm the Rockets, I would take that deal in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Fox and Buddy Hield plus a pick for Westbrook, I would do that. That would be an interesting little matchup. I'm curious, what do you think about the Spurs? Do you think Pop takes on one last challenge?
I mean, I could see him trying to take on that challenge with Russell Westbrook. DeMar, I don't think he's going to re-sign in San Antonio, and so I think he's a candidate to be traded somewhere. And so, yeah, that could be worth it. And San Antonio is also trying to be in a rebuild, so you know that might help.
We'll see. Toronto, I don't see it happening, especially with Lowry there. But you know, crazier things have happened. Freddie VanVleet's probably going to bounce out of Toronto, and Utah. What do you think? Utah?
The only reason I would say Utah is because Bill Simmons always makes a joke about new NBA team owners and how they don't really care about winning right off the bat. They just want to do whatever to sell tickets. And so like the Utah Jazz just sold to a new owner. And so I could see him as his like swan song trying to, or, you know, entry to the league to be bringing in Westbrook just to sell tickets and make a big splash signing.
Something to be mindful of with Utah is both Gobert and Mitchell slated for free agency in 2021. So don't know that they take on that financial commitment, but Russell Westbrook in Utah would certainly be something to behold. The brightest thing on of his nightlife might be his outfits with everything closed at 8 p.m. Washington has Wall and Beal. I don't think that Washington is going to entertain a Beal for Westbrook swap, and I don't know why either side would entertain Wall for Westbrook at this point, I guess, but weirder things have happened. Tough to find a good fit. Maybe a couple teams that look like they could be, you know, destinations. I'm intrigued by the Kings option. I'm intrigued by the Bucks option. The Knicks are the comedic, you know, gold option. So we'll see what winds up happening with Westbrook. And as you guys can see, the amount of just utter change that's going to be happening around the league, it just really shows why it's time for our HoopBall promo. And this is huge. It's a huge week for everyone at HoopBall because all of our 2020-2021 NBA season products are finally out for sale. Yes, you heard me right. Stick with us because there's a lot to go over, but we almost never push our HoopBall products, and this is the window during the year where we need to power that engine. Here's what you get: the draft guide. This is our flagship, our shining beacon, the most comprehensive draft guide in all of fantasy basketball. Our guys went 400, yes, 400 players deep again this year. A future access pass to the Brewski 150 is also out. And if you don't know the Brewski 150, you need to know now. It is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10, count them, 10 straight years. That's a decade. And new for HoopBall this year, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans. I'll try to keep this part short. We have the Fantasy Pass, which includes the Draft Guide, the Brewski 150, the also new DFS Pass, and all of our in-season premium tools. The DFS Pass is also available on its own, if that is your preferred thing. We have the new Wager Pass for sports bettors who want the picks and analysis, and... we have the HoopBall 360. That sucker has all the stuff above, plus even earlier access to the Brewski 150. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBall Fantasy on Twitter now to learn more and to get yours. JC, this is the I Want to Dominate My Fantasy Basketball all-inclusive package.
Yeah, I know that all the guys in HoopBall that work on the fantasy side, they definitely know their stuff. They daily fantasy, they do really well. Season long fantasy, they do really well. Even the gaming at HoopBall Gaming Twitter, they don't just call make NBA bets or college basketball bets. They bet football, they bet baseball, and they know their stuff.
There's no doubt about it. JC, I want to circle back to the Lakers as we continue to talk about free agency and what's on the horizon here. Do you have sort of a, you know, realistic shopping list for Lakers, and then do you have sort of a dream shopping list for Lakers, or do you just have a few guys who you think the Lakers might benefit from, you know, looking into a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, I always kind of have my shopping list of players that I would like to see play with LeBron, and players that I would like to love to see play in different scenarios all along the league. And so, yeah, that's something I think about constantly, even once the season starts and like in trades and things like that. So yeah, there's definitely scenarios and things that I've looked at.
Can I give you a couple names here just around the league, and you tell me, you know, I'll start with one that's not going to be an option for the Lakers just because he's going to be too expensive. But Joe Harris would be a brilliant fit for this team.
Yeah, he's one. I think his defensive skill is a little bit underrated, which is kind of
agreed.
Kind of where people would say no to Joe Harris real quick. But yeah, I mean, I think his defensive skill is underrated, and he's a lights out 3-point shooter, and so he would obviously be a really great fit on this team.
Next, I'm going to give you two veteran names who I think are going to go a little bit under the radar. One for sure under the radar, one a little bit more prominent. The first one that's a little bit more prominent is Jeff Teague. The second, which is definitely going to go under the radar, is Nicholas Batum. Now, I cannot imagine a scenario where he does not exercise his player option. But in a world where he says, forget about the money, I'm done with the Hornets, he'd be doing them a favor.
Yeah,
Batum, I think that type of player would be interesting.
Yeah, I think Batum is someone who's kind of ripe for a reclamation season, and I think a change of scenery would do him good. But I mean, his last couple seasons were really bad.
He can't pass on that money, though.
Yeah,
I don't think so. There's just no way. Okay, let me give you another bargain bin basement option, Courtney Lee.
I like Courtney Lee.
I like the idea of Courtney Lee. I haven't seen Courtney Lee play in quite a while, but I think he could give Danny Green a run for his money, right? Same kind of mold of player. I think Danny Green's probably better defensively, but similar type of mold of player. I'd love Paul Millsap. I think he'd be interesting, but I can't imagine he's going to sign for the minimum after making $30 million a year, so I just don't see that. I love your idea of Christian Wood earlier. Where'd you get that from?
I mean, it's one that has come out in the last couple of days. The Ringer wrote a really good article and a video about it. He's a really good shot-blocking center. This past season might have been an anomaly because for his career, he shoots from three at 29%. For whatever reason, this past season, he shot 39%. And he's about 6'10", same weight as Anthony Davis. And so it's kind of why I had that scenario of solving that Anthony Davis at the five problem by just getting another player who's the same size and a similar skill set. Nearly not good as Anthony Davis, obviously, but he can dribble down the lane. And if you run a pick and roll with Anthony Davis on one side and Christian Wood on the other, either one can roll to the basket and either one can pick and pop. And it's like, what are they going to do on any given time? They could just keep flip-flopping. And as a defense, you'll never know which one's going to roll and which one's going to pop.
Justin Holiday.
Good point guard. I think, I think he'd be pretty good.
Justin, to me, now I'm biased, okay? We went to high school together. But Justin, to me, is that guy who does his job and does it well. He defends threes and fours. He's not the biggest guy. I mean, he's tall, but he's not big, okay? So I think there's a limitation there. But the effort is there defensively, and I really like what he brings to the table. Reggie Jackson is a name you're going to hear floated around, especially if Rajon Rondo dips. I do not want any part of Reggie Jackson. In fact, I think it would be sort of a step backwards. Speaking of Jay Crowder earlier, he is a free agent, JC. I would very much like the Lakers to be aggressively pursuing Jay Crowder.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. I think I always had my list of players that I wanted to see play with LeBron, and I always thought Jay would be a really good fit, and the half a season he was in Cleveland with LeBron, I thought it worked out really well, and I don't think Cleveland should have traded him that season.
How about a guy like Etuan Moore? I'm going to give you several Pelicans. Etuan Moore, Derek Favors, the Jahlil Okafor Reclamation Project.
I like Favors and more than I'd like Okafor. I think Jahlil's had a couple of chances at a reclamation season, and it just hasn't quite happened for him yet. I think he's a serviceable player, but I think the Lakers are in a position where they can get players who are more than just serviceable. Derek Favors is a guy I liked a lot. I think when he was a free agent and signed with New Orleans, I was kind of hoping he would sign with the Lakers.
Derek Favors could be an interesting add. Now I'm going to give you a handful of names of varying realities. I think Mo Harkless would be an excellent addition to Lakers on a minimum deal. I think Nerlens Noel could be an excellent addition to Lakers on a minimum deal. Talk about a reclamation project. I know we've talked about him prior. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to give you my pie in the sky, which is Danilo Gallinari.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
Danilo Gallinari would be a brilliant addition to the Lakers.
He would. And his injury history concerns me a little bit, but you know, Anthony Davis had a little bit of an injury history too, and that's where I think the positive influence of having LeBron James as a teammate would help him out a lot, because it seems like his work ethic sort of translated to Anthony Davis's work ethic, and Anthony Davis had a relatively, except for the shoulder thing, a relatively injury-free season this past season. And so, yeah, I think that would be good for somebody like Danilo.
Another bargain bin option for you, Kent Bazemore, former Mr. Laker himself.
Bazemore is a guy I've liked. He's sort of been on my – he's been on that list of players I've wanted to see play with LeBron. Definitely more so a couple of years ago, a little bit less the last couple of years. But I think I still think he's serviceable, and I like, I don't know why, I just like left-handed shooters.
I like a left-handed swing in baseball. I like the left-handed stroke in basketball. I totally understand it. You know, we mentioned Serge Ibaka earlier. I think that's not a realistic target, but you know, the Lakers, that type of player obviously would be a nice addition to the team. Megallo, I'm going to stick with. That's my pie in the sky sort of dream world there. Davis Bertans would also be on that list, but I think he's going to get way too much money. Mm-hmm. I think Gallinari would actually be cheaper. It could be cheaper, but both of those guys probably price themselves out of the Lakers market. Is there any guy who is, you know, really under the radar? And I'm not talking like G League under the radar, but, you know, NBA free agent under the radar, where you say, that's a guy who could help the Lakers and probably is gettable on a minimum type of deal.
I've always liked... And this is kind of the Austin, Texas guy in me. I've always liked DJ Augustine. I've liked him ever since he was a Texas Longhorn. I've always...
Solid.
Yeah, I've always liked... He does really well against the Lakers. Really dependable. I think he would be that second or third point guard off the bench to... first point guard off the bench or second point guard off the bench, who knows how to run an offense, a decent shooter. He kind of checks all the boxes as not being great at any one thing, but he's good at like a lot of things, and he's got all the years of experience.
As a Lakers fan, if I sit here today and I tell you, okay, Lakers are going to get Jay Crowder, DJ Augustine, and Nerlens Noel, and that's going to be their offseason, but they're going to lose Rondo. KCP will stay, but Dwight Howard's also gone. Lakers fans okay with that?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing they've got to address is if they lose Rondo, that's where you need like a DJ Augustine or like a Jeff Teague or someone like that. If you lose Rondo and don't get any kind of replacement for him, that's a big loss.
It is, and I think, you know, not to undersell the Rondo point or oversell the KCP point, but if KCP does wind up leaving and the Lakers are looking at a shooting guard situation that's, you know, Danny Green, Avery Bradley, Talen Horton Tucker, I'd feel a lot better if they got another guy in there.
Yeah, for sure.
So we'll see how it'll all shake out. You guys, it's unbelievable. It is truly unbelievable that the season basically starts next week with the draft. I'm still sitting here shaking my head about that.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, that means it's time to clean up, get my stuff together, and thank God we have Manscaped as one of our sponsors, because you know that's what they do best. The Lawnmower 3.0, that's all we use, because it is the premium electric trimmer that's designed to give you a confidence boost through body image. And guys, you'll also want to find the Crop Reviver, that testy tone that's like having cologne that is designed for your balls. We won't judge you, and I won't judge you if you're sniffing yourself, because you already know I've tried it, okay? In fact, listeners of this show will get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Got to use that code HOOPBALL20. So it's time to clean up for the season as we're right on the horizon of getting everything going. JC, do you see the Lakers being involved in the trade market?
I do, just because, you know, there's still a lot of smoke around potential Chris Paul rumors, and as great a cost as he would be, I don't necessarily want it to happen, but if it happens, I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world. I guess it would just depend on what the ultimate cost of it is as far as other players. There have been rumors about like a guy like DeMar DeRozan, who is a really good mid-court player, pretty good defensive player, but I don't think the Lakers are going to trade for anyone who's not a good three-point shooter, and DeMar's not a good three-point shooter. But other than that, I don't think they would be that active in the trade market.
I have a hard time seeing how they'd find themselves active unless it's Danny Green or Kyle Kuzma, because that's the only package that makes any kind of sense for a team that might be looking for that particular combination. Yeah. It's going to be next to impossible to trade Kuzma on his own. So we shall see how the Lakers shake out.
The Derrick Rose rumors are also pretty prevalent, but I think somehow, some way, I think the cost for Derrick Rose would be a lot, because I think Danny Green and Kuzma for Derrick Rose, I think, is too much. It was too much this past February. It would be way too much.
Way too much. And on top of that, the Pistons, right? They can pretend that they have all sorts of leverage, but the reality is he's not going to be re-signing there. So at some point, push comes to shove, right? Nobody's going to overpay knowing that, especially in this year of uncertainty. And I just, for the Lakers, that's a scenario that's not exactly urgent. I'm much, much, much more concerned about the depth down low after Anthony Davis and Kyle Kuzma, and to get some improvement on the wing and at point guard. And, technically, I guess the only small forward on the roster right now is LeBron James, unless you want to call Danny Green or Kyle Kuzma small forwards. So, be nice to have some serviceable backup behind LeBron as well in the event of, Megatron ever having to have a temporary tweak to the armor. So I think the Lakers, and the fans are still riding high off the championship, JC, but I think you have to look at this roster and project ahead, because there are some holes to fill here.
Yeah, for sure. Even despite the championship and despite the occasional game in which they would light it up from three, they weren't the best three-point shooting team. And so you definitely need to address that. The size issue a little bit, but I like the versatility they had. You'd like for them to be a little bit better of a small ball team if they had to be. Like when they had to resort to the small ball, weren't the best at it. Those kind of holes, yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. And as a betting man, JC, if the Lakers are favored to win the title coming into the 2021 season, are those odds that you're taking?
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of betting, we've partnered with mybookie.ag. They have promo codes where at the moment you can look them up on our HoopBall site to see what the promo codes are for MyBookie. But they will match your deposit when you sign up for them. Football season has kicked off, so you can always make those bets. They occasionally run promotions on Saturdays where they dramatically move the odds in the bettor's favor as a way to kind of promote the site. So look out for those. We will definitely tweet those out when that happens. But mybookie.ag, it's pretty easy. You bet and you win, and they immediately pay.
That's the way I like to have my money cashed out. JC, speaking of Twitter, you can follow our show at HoopBall Lakers. That's at HoopBall Lakers, all one word. You can follow the man, the myth, JC, at JCDeLeon1. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Ethan_Noroff. That's 1F. I know it sounds like two, but it's only one. JC, it's great to be back in the mix on the Lakers podcast. We are going to have plenty to discuss and plenty of guests in the near future. We're going to be reconnecting with our audience. Basketball is back like it never left. In a year that has been nothing but weird, we're here to embrace it and then some. JC, any final thoughts?
Nope. But happy to be back. Happy to be talking to the listeners.
Get your HoopBall premium subscription package today, hoop-ball.com. Follow at HoopBallTweets, at HoopBallFantasy, and the whole HoopBall family on the Twitter sphere. Until next time, Laker Nation, we out.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.